And so we've looked at that, we've seen what that means for our identity as believers, and that the old self is gone, and the new self has come as a member, as a part of the family of God. And then last week we were looking at citizenship, on where our citizenship lies. And ultimately, our citizenship lies as believers in heaven. And any other citizenship that we have here on earth, or any other belonging that we have, is a second-class citizenship compared to that awesome and great identity marker that we have as citizens of heaven. And so today we're going to look at what it means to be an image bearer. And so, in my introduction, it says, as we grow and mature, we tend to act like, look like, and reflect our earthly parents. As Christians, the same is true. As we grow in grace, are sanctified by the Spirit, and transformed by the Father, we begin to reflect Him to the world. So this morning, I would like to look at what it means to be an image bearer. To look at who are image bearers and how that leads us to treat others and what has happened to us as image bearers as a result to the fall and to sin entering, and that who is the greatest and truest image of God and how that image is being restored within us. And the key scripture we're going to look at is Genesis 1, 26 to 27. It reads this: Then God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so with this last section here, remember what I said a few weeks ago, that when there is something that is repeated within the writing, there is an extra stressor, or there's an extra calling to look deeper at what's being said, because there is a deeper meaning that is being portrayed through this. And so we see in the last part of this, it says, So God created man in his own image. And then it repeats it in the reverse and says, In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so it's repeating this section here. So it's really driving home the idea that we as humans are created in the image of God. And it doesn't say that anything else was created in the image of God, but that we were created in the image of God. So that is a differentiator between humanity and the rest of creation, that we were created in the image of God. But as an illustration, I'd like to reflect a little bit more back on the opening remarks. I said, as we grow and mature, we tend to act like, look like, and reflect our earthly parents. Now, this isn't ultimately true in every act, in every respect, but, you know, because I know there's differences between me and my parents, but there are moments when I do something, when I laugh a certain way, or when something happens in a situation and I respond, I'm like, whoa, that was my dad. You know, I know it, I see it, and I laugh at it because I've, you know, been with my dad for majority of my life, you know, pretty much, except when I've moved away. You know, I was living in his home for 19 years, and I reflect at times different aspects of my dad's personality, different ways he acts and responds, and it's kind of interesting how that kind of happens. And Char, as an example, she reflects her mom on numerous occasions, many many, many occasions. And I love her for it. But there are times when Char will go to tell a story, and the story is hilarious. It's very funny, at least initially to Char it is. And so as she's going to repeat this story, which has a awesome punchline or something that has happened to her, she breaks into laughter so hard that you cannot understand what she is saying. And then for the next 5 minutes, she keeps trying to say it over and over again, but continues to break down into laughter. So worse than they're kind of laughing, not at what the story was, but laughing at the fact she's laughing so hard about trying to tell us this story. And that is a character trait that she gets from her mom as well, who also breaks into laughter when she's telling a funny story. And so, have you ever experienced that in your own life? Have you ever seen different instances or times when you have had someone say, "You look just like your parents"? You know, I can tell you, you look just like your mom. That's where you get all your good looks. Or is it something where you've acted a certain way or responded and you have noticed yourself, "That was just like my parents"? It could come in with dealing with your kids. I know a lot of people have said when they responded in disciplining with their kids, they're like, "You know, that was just like my father," or something like that. But there are times when we reflect and bear the image in certain times, certain aspects of our earthly parents. And we do see that it is true. The exact same thing is true with our spiritual image that we bear. And so we've been adopted into the family of God. So now, being adopted into the family of God, we have gained a new life. We've gained a new family. And so we are beginning, or supposed to, bear that image, the image of God in our lives, more and more through our actions, through our responses, through our looks, and through our attitudes. And as humans, we tend to reflect that which means most to us. You can take a person, take them out of a social group, plant them into another social group, and if they want to belong to that social group, they want to find identity within that social group, they tend to reflect the values, the opinions, and even the dress and looks of that social group. And so they're finding their identity in with those people that they're belonging to. And so through that, they value that and end up reflecting that throughout their own life. You know, that could be true with anything. We've talked about the fact that some people find their identity within their talents and their abilities, within their job, within how much money they make, which with situations that may have happened within their past or currently. And because of such, they find themselves geared in or locked in towards that identity, and that's how they find their worth. And so through that, that value that they put on whatever earthly temporary object here, that is where they're reflecting the image. That is what image they are reflecting. And so I could see, like, in the social experiment, in college, we had the opportunity to study alongside numerous people from across the United States and across Canada and even other areas around the world. There's been students that have come through Kingswood. And one instance that I noticed more so is that with Char, she had the opportunity to room with a couple girls from North Carolina. She's also lived in Ohio and lived in Michigan, and she was in Canada and eventually married a Canadian. So for Char, some of her speech at times when she talks, especially when we were in college, she could say one sentence, and within that, you can pick up the Michigan accent, the Ohioan accent, the Southern accent, and the Canadian accent, all coming through on the different words that she said within that one sentence. And so we had an interesting time at the border one time because he didn't really know where she was from based on how she was talking. And I saw the same thing was true with me. My freshman year at Kingswood, my roommate was from Maryland. My best friend also went to Kingswood and was friends with my roommate before I arrived, because I came in January. And throughout that time, you know, we talked with my roommate, Nate, and time again, we were there. And then a couple months later, we ended up going to my hometown. Nate came down with Jacob and I, and he came to visit our families. And immediately, he was thrown off guard, because when we, Jacob and I, entered back into our home environment, you could tell we were Elbert County country. That's the county where I live, and so where you could tell immediately our voice, inflection, and accent changed. Jacob might never noticed. We've been here, there, and everywhere together and talking, but he noticed that when we got around our families and friends, that our speech tended to reflect that of which was in that area. And so there's been times as well when I've been talking with someone who has a British accent, and automatically, involuntarily, I tend to repeat words with a British accent very badly. But that kind of happens. When you get around people and around situations, you tend to reflect that which is around you. Kind of like the moon reflects the sun's light at night. You know, so you tend to be a mirror of sorts with that. And so in regards to our spiritual image, as believers, we should be reflecting Christ. And sometimes we are poor reflections of Christ because we don't spend enough time in prayer. We don't spend enough time in His Word. We are sidetracked with other things, the busyness of life. And we may act or respond in a way to people that is not necessarily the best image of how Christ would have acted or responded then. And through that, we are just dimly reflecting Christ, as if through a dirty mirror. I want to brightly reflect Christ. I want us as a church to brightly reflect Christ. As like when the moon is full, you know, you see all of the moon reflecting the light of the sun. You know, it is the brightest. You can, some nights, you can actually see where you're walking around outside because that light is so bright that it is illuminating the darkness. I want us to reflect Christ's love and mercy and compassion and holiness and His justice. I want us to reflect His values. I want to reflect that in my life, but I want us corporately to continually, day by day, have the opportunity to get to know our Heavenly Father more, to be able to be in prayer and communion with Him, so much so that through our actions, our default response is a Christ-like attitude. In other words, I want us to bear His image, His reflection. So let's look back at the origin of the image bearers. Genesis 1:26. I'm going to look at that one more time, and we're going to walk through there. It says this: "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. The first book of the Bible, the very first chapter of the first book of the Bible, sets the stage for all of this. We see that we, as humans, were created in the image of God. Now, I want to highlight that that doesn't necessarily mean that our physical forms were created in the image of God, or a static image that just kind of is the same, but it is more, I think it's more so of the of our capacity to love and to show mercy and to care, to show justice, to take care of creation, and you know, the things like that that is bearing the image of God, which is more of a dynamic reflection opposed to a static reflection, something that is moving and changing and active. So us bearing the image of God is not just a static thing that we have and we bear through creation, but is also something that is dynamic and active. But immediately, within the second book, we see that it is no longer the case. We see that sin has entered the world through a choice to disobey the word of God. And because of that, we are now cracked image bearers. We do not reflect the image of God as we once did. We've been broken because of sin. But nonetheless, we're still bearers of the image of God. Likened to the moon, just after its new moon cycle, when you see a sliver of light, we're still bearers of the image of God, but we do not shine that light as brightly as we should. And through that, but we can even see one act of kindness can come through on a person. You know, regardless if they're close to Christ or far from Christ, that they can still show kindness. They can still show different aspects of God's image, but yet it would be dimly. It would not be to the fullest extent. And because of this cracked, sinful state, we require punishment. We in Adam and in our lives have broken the laws of God, and Adam represents us as the first cracked image. And in him we are lost and broken. We need a new representative. We need to be made new, to be restored, to be purified. And that starts the whole grand narrative of Scripture. It starts with God setting the stage for redemption. That everything throughout the Old Testament has been to set up this point in time for when he and Jesus was going to step down into creation, was going to show us what it truly meant to bear the image of God as fully human, as a full, restored, completely unblemished human and God. And he came and he lived among us. And we see in the Gospels the account of how Jesus interacted with people and the love that he shared and the healings that he performed and the mercy he showed and the justice that he imposed through that. And through all of this, he eventually shown us his sacrificial love as he died on the cross. So ultimately, this led to Jesus, God incarnate, stepping down into creation, and while bearing the true image of the invisible God, led a sinless life and sacrificed himself in love for us. Romans 5:1-8 reads this: "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while yet we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ came through this grand narrative ultimately to give us the opportunity to be in a restored relationship, to have this adoption into the family of God, and to have our citizenship changed from an earthly one, a temporary one, to a permanent heavenly citizenship. And we see that Jesus is the truest image of the invisible God. And we're going to look at Colossians 1, 15 to 23. It reads this: He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So we see here that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the truest image of God here on earth. Because God being infinite, you know, God being so much greater than us, there is no way that we as finite beings can ever understand an infinite creator. And so God, through Christ, showed us who he is, his character. He shows us kind of secondary throughout the Old Testament, where we see how God relates with his people and how he deals with situations through there, and how he rebukes his children and brings them back to himself. But then ultimately we see him physically in the flesh in Christ show who he is to us through his actions and through his love. He perfectly and fully reflected who God is. As we look through the Gospels, we see exactly the character of Christ, and by that we know even more fully the character of God, the Father. Christ healed, rebuked, showed mercy, love, kindness, wisdom, and he ultimately showed us the extent of his sacrificial love by dying on the cross, by restoring our relationship with God. The climax of the Imago Dei, or the image of God, can be found here in Christ. Christ also reflects to us what it is to be truly human. He is not a cracked image like we have become, but he is a reflection of what it is to be fully human and what it really means to bear the image of God. And like Adam, Jesus was made in the image of God, but yet Jesus was faultless and without sin. In Hebrews 4:15, he is the way for salvation, John 14:6, and he leads the way to show us what it means to be truly human. Mark 8:10. Jesus is the ultimate and perfect representation of the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4. He truly exemplifies godliness and humanness. So what does it mean to live as an image bearer? So we as believers are to put off the cracked, broken image, that is which came through Adam, that was once ours, and are to put on a new image, one fashioned after Christ. And we have that opportunity because of Christ's sacrifice, because of the Spirit coming to indwell us as believers. Colossians 3:9-10 reads this: "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." The writer of Hebrews tells us to spur each other on in righteousness, or to righteousness. As image bearers, we are to hold each other to accountability, to keep our brothers and sisters on the narrow path, and produce Christ-honoring fruit. What a difference would it make in our behavior, in our actions, in how we reflect Christ's image if, when we came across someone who is rude, hard to get along with, self-obsessed, or has the nerve to disagree with us, if we saw them as God's image bearers? They may be in need of reconciliation, restoration, healing, but they bear his image nonetheless. They may be cracked and broken, but they bear the image of God nonetheless. And so through that, if we responded to people around us as we would respond, as Christ would respond to those who bore his image, what does it look like to reflect God's nature and character in our responses? Say, would we extend grace over judgment? Ephesians 2. Would we be quick to listen and slow to speak? James 1:19. Would we offer a hand of help rather than words of advice? Matthew 25:34-36. Would we share a message of hope instead of shame? Hebrews 6. And would we remember what we were before he saved us? Titus 3. Once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy. We hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Titus 3:3-7. And so, as image bearers, as those who bear the image of God, let us seek for continual growth. Let us, in our actions, do all we can to be sure that we are in the Word of God, that we are fostering that relationship with God that we have through this adoption into his family, that we are in his Word and that we are in prayer, and that we are praying that the Spirit will continue to sanctify us and purify us and forge us into men and women who more fully bear the image of God and reflect who he is to the world that is around us. That we continue to look to the climax of the image of God, Christ, who is the truest image of the invisible God and the best representation on what it means to be fully human. Not broken, not cracked, but truly and wholly human. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning that you've given to us. We thank you for the word that we have here. God, we thank you more fully that in you our identity is found, our fullest and truest identity on who we are is not based in what we do, in what we have as abilities and talents and money, but it is based on who you are. That our identity is found in you, in your love, in your mercy, as our Creator. God, I pray this morning as we leave that we would be able to continue to grow in our sanctification, that we continue to grow in our character, that you would mold us continually more and more so into your image, that we may shine brighter who you are to this world, that we may be a clear reflection of your love and your mercy, even when it comes to times and situations when we in our flesh want to respond in a negative way. God, I pray that through that, you would shine more brighter and that we would respond in a way that truly honors you and brings glory to your name. We praise you this morning. Amen.